from the pocket, launching downfield, underthrown and intercepted. Kaylee Ringo has an escort down the sidelines. All the way to the end zone, and Georgia is going to conquer the Crimson Tide.
Welcome to the TNT Podcast with your host Tyler Layfield and Torres the Punisher Finney.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the TNT Podcast. As always, it's your boy, Tyler Layfield, joined by my co-host, Torres Finney. How's it going, Torres?
What's going on, baby? You know, we just got done with the end of a great season, man. A really great season. I enjoyed it a lot, man. A lot of good teams this year and a lot of good things to look forward to for a lot of these teams.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank God I was able to watch the game last night. I was definitely going to at least watch at least the first half. I get pretty tired throughout the week. Being on that schedule I have of mine, I mean, I can't complain, I guess. I know a lot of other people have to get up early and actually do stuff throughout the day. Putting up with kids is pretty difficult sometimes every now and then. I enjoy my job, but you got to have some sleep to do it. But got the reminder or got the update last night that we won't be having school tomorrow. So I was like, all right, I may as well, you know, stay up for the rest of this. I'll get a little bit of extra sleep today. So I stayed up and watched it. And it I'm not gonna say it was a great game, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't as bad as it looked early. It looked like it was going to get pretty ugly pretty quick. And I think that's what everybody shot to pretty much immediately last night. And I think it was it 14-0 to start it off, right?
Yeah,
started off 14-0. Michigan, I believe it was Donovan Edwards scored the first two, right?
Or yes, he scored.
I know he had two. I have to go back. I'm going to look and see, was it the first two? But started off hot, man. Michigan defensively, they offensively running the ball well. McCarthy was on his game. It was all pedal to the metal on this game from Michigan, and they looked good, man. They looked good. Let's see here. Let's look at play-by-play. Yeah, so that's how it kind of pretty much started off. We had the touchdown from Edwards there, and then, like you said, Donovan Edwards, 46-yard run, touchdown, there it is. So, yeah, they started off hot. Good game by them. And then pretty much from there, Washington, it just felt like from their end, couldn't get much going offensively, man. Like, the defense actually held up in times where they needed them to. They just couldn't do anything offensively. Maybe they used every bit of what they could in that last game. But, man, it was pretty tough to watch that Washington's offense, which I did not think I'd be saying that today. What'd you see, though?
Watching the game, it went a little bit how I predicted, actually. I predicted a 34-24 score, if anybody remember last week.
I even lower than that.
I actually was surprised that Washington, when they wasn't able to put up 24 points, I thought, you know, it was a little surprising in that regard. But props to Michigan. I knew Michigan was going to control the clock, run the ball. But see, watching these games throughout the bowl games, throughout some of the season, the guys that had their starters, it doesn't surprise me when I see what I've been seeing all year long. I watched probably three or four Michigan games, you know, some of their bigger games. And when I watch Michigan play, what you saw last night and what you saw all season, J.J. McCarthy plays an average game. They're running the ball. They had 200 rushing yards in the first half. Like, yeah. My goodness. They're running the ball, and they're playing really good defense. Well, what about Michigan has looked like that ever since Jim Harbaugh has gotten there. Jim Harbaugh teams look like ever since he's been coaching. If anybody remember the 49ers team, they were very heavy run, really good defense.
Yeah.
Not many times a quarterback is going to do something too spectacular. You had that one year with Colin Kaepernick. You take away that, how J.J. McCarthy looked, basically, as I compared him a lot to Alex Smith, they look very similar. This game was really, I mean, it is what it is. One team was that much more dominant than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Washington couldn't get a lot of things going only because Washington couldn't really, like, sustain their offense, you know, and I think it's hard to sustain their offense when you got constant activity from the linemen. Michigan controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides, both offensively and defensively. I really enjoyed the game a little bit. You know, I like defensive game. I like low scoring, run the ball, smash mouth football.
Yeah, when I said it wasn't a great game, I wasn't trying to, like, crack on it. And like I said, this was just an awful game to watch. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, downplay it by any means. But it wasn't a close one. And it never really was the whole entire time. That's what I mean by it. No disrespect to all the Michigan people. Well, I have a lot of Michigan fan friends out there. So
I will say Washington had opportunity. Well, I mean, it was tight. You know, it was tight. I mean, it was always a one score game for the majority of the game. Washington had opportunities, but Washington, as you saw, wide receivers made a lot of mistakes. I mean,
yeah, very uncharacteristic.
And missed throws. I mean, look,
he did
going down the field, overthrowing certain guys. Wide receiver dropping passes that he usually catch. That was a very, like, unusual Washington like offense.
Dennis, you're gonna get Torres going with that comment right there.
I mean, it's not SEC like defense. I mean, do we not remember the defenses of Miami? Do we not remember the defense of USC? Like, you know, it's not SEC-like defense. They have a really good defense because there was no SEC team in this game last time I checked.
SEC bias, man, coming up in here. Here he goes.
SEC bias.
Got him on a soapbox, Dennis.
But I also knew they would give Penix problems as well. It's all about sometimes which card you draw. What side of the bracket are you going to be on? Y'all going to be seeing the same thing with the 12-team playoffs. You see it all the time in the NFL. I have said this multiple times. It's all about matchups. Me and Kobe was going at it on Instagram a little bit earlier today.
Really?
You know, he was talking about, you know, some people, there was a post out there that was saying Georgia could beat Michigan. And he was like, but Georgia can't even beat Bama. And I was like, well, that's called matchups. I feel like Georgia matches up a lot better against Michigan than Bama does.
I agree.
He's like, well, you said the same thing about Bama Georgia matching up good against Bama. And I said, well, that's interesting because last time I checked, I remember Bama blowing us out. The score was 28-24. Granted, they controlled majority of the game, but
yeah,
that was a tight game. And a play here and there, it's a different circumstance. Mm-hmm. That necessarily doesn't mean you don't match up well against them. And I do believe Georgia, with their style of offense, with the way they run the ball, with the way that we play defense, I like our chances against a team like Michigan. I really do. I really do like how we could play a team like Michigan. But, I mean, it is what it is in that regards. But, you know, we can see. So.
Yeah. Dennis chimed in a little. So, they only allowed 13 points to a high-scoring offense. They sacked Milrow six times. We didn't. You're right.
That's the matchup persistent. Because guess what? Is Milrow going to be able to move and utilize the pocket the same way Milrow can? I mean, is J.J. McCarthy going to be able to move and use the pocket like Jalen Milrow? No. That's two different quarterbacks. And there's two different offenses. You know, the way they run the ball will be completely different. That's what I like. You know, like, sometimes the best teams don't always win the championship. And I'm gonna be honest, y'all might think
it's
I think Georgia was one of the better teams this year. We just can't get over the hump against Nick Saban in Alabama. But I do believe
You can't say we haven't, because we have that one time. You know, but it's definitely frustrating enough. It's frustrating it's frustrating enough to where it's just like, yeah, we can never do it. I was looking at Paul Feinbaum. I was looking on Twitter before we got on the show today, and Paul Feinbaum had been pretty persistent. Georgia's the best team. Georgia's the best team. Georgia, you know, to me, they could beat anybody in this college football playoff. And then today he stated, after seeing what I saw last night, I'm no longer willing to say that. I'm willing to say Michigan is the best team. But Feinbaum's known for saying kind of stuff like that. And I think he definitely can still make the case. I mean, Michigan, you did win the championship. It's hard to say you're not the best team. But I do think Georgia does have a case up there. Some might even say Alabama with the defense, you know, that they had, you know, and the tomfoolery they're able to pull every game. You know, you could say Washington maybe if you like, you know, high-powered offenses. Dennis says we could beat Bama when we are not in Georgia. Okay, yeah, you kind of have a small case there, right? You know, yeah, the Benz is just – just can't do it in the Benz somehow, right? Yeah, we could do it in Lucas Oil Stadium, just not anywhere else, right?
We got to do better as a team, and we have to coach better against Nick Saban. It's just, I mean, like I said, until proven otherwise, Alabama will always beat Georgia, in my opinion. Whenever that game comes up, until I see them, and then next year, don't make it any cleaner. We got to go to Alabama. Yeah, so it's not like, oh man, I'm happy. Like, that's an automatic loss, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
I'm not willing to. I don't know. And it's funny hearing this from you because I feel like you're the ultimate optimist when it comes to this kind of thing. Normally it's me, you know, preparing the doomsday, ringing the bell. The end is near. And then Torres is like, well, we're not winning until I actually see it. This is a new Torres here. So
I'm sorry. Like,
I can get on board though.
Until I actually see it. It's just hard for me to, you know, you can't bet against Alabama in a lot of these type of games, you know. Now, again, we both picked Alabama to win it all once they made the playoffs. You know, yeah. I wouldn't want to bet against Nick Saban, you know. No, but I didn't think they were going to run away with it. I knew it would be a close game. Now, the way Michigan, you know, played a really good game, and Michigan looked good. So, and props to Michigan, man. They deserve a national champion. They did their thing.
Yeah, and like Dennis laid out here, it's about keeping Milrow in the pocket, making him throw, and not turning the ball over on your side. All right, here comes Jacob Ball. There he is. We all going to Bama UGA? I don't know. Are we? I don't know. I'll think about it when they close as closer as it gets. I'll consider it. Jacob, I do want to hear some stuff from you, man. I guess we could kick it into this. I mean, anything else you want to say about the championship? I mean, good job to Michigan. I mean, we both kind of honed in on that. I mean, awesome job to Michigan. They played a great game. Washington just wasn't your day, man. A lot of things just, you know, didn't work out well. You couldn't really get the running game going. Offense just wasn't there. Defense actually showed up, which is, like I said, not what I expected. But I don't really have too much more to say on the game. What about you?
I'm going to say, you know, props definitely to Michigan, as we've stated multiple times, but I am going to say that the fact that Michigan, I see a lot of people talk about, well, Michigan are cheaters and they're this and they're that. I mean, these guys still went out there and played the game, you know, and of course, whenever these guys were so-called caught, I don't, you know, a lot of people that have been in the game of football, you know, when I heard that, oh man, they were caught stealing signs, I'm like, I didn't know that was illegal.
I heard some stories back from Jones County where learned the signs of the other team, you know. So like, I don't know. I've heard some things about that.
Like, is that like still inside of it? Now, sending guys to other guys' practices was definitely, you know, something that was obviously really wrong. But again, y'all don't understand. We have had that happen even at Jones County when I was there. Like, this is not new. Sending guys to the guys' practices, like putting on caps, acting like different people, like, or sending guys to their games trying to steal something.
I know the games. I haven't heard the practice thing. That's crazy.
Oh, dude. Yes, dude. Because remember, anybody's open to coming into practice. And then plus where our practice was, you can sit up there in their bleachers and you don't know who that is. You know, you don't know who that is, you know?
No, so you don't.
That any of that can possibly happen. I mean, it's still about what you're going to – now, yes, if my other team always know my plays and stuff, then, yeah, I got to be mindful of that. But,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. You know, we'll
I guess, see. I guess last thing I got to add here on Michigan before we move on to the next thing, Harbaugh, was this his last game at Michigan?
Man,
I'm leaning yes. I'm
there's leaning a lot yes, of NFL was, jobs open right now. There's a lot I'm of NFL yes. jobs open. Yeah, I'm – I have to make an answer. I'm going to say yes as well. It's just with the way the NIL stuff is going on, he probably will be better off going. I mean, Michigan just won a championship, so that's huge.
All the rumors out there about him maybe being suspended for next year, blah, 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 all the ramifications. You know, there's people out there that are even saying something about, you know, voiding wins and things like that. You know, dip out before the storm hits. I could see him doing it. And then, like you said, there's a plethora of NFL jobs out there. You know, he's got his pick of the litter more than likely. as far as like people wanting him to come coach their team. So, yeah, I could definitely see him dipping out.
That'll be like Pete Carroll, because Pete Carroll dipped out different
times. Same there, yeah.
You know, to go to his team, and, you know, after USC won all those national championships back-to-back,
yeah,
and then, you know, he left. So, might be the same deal.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead. Let's look ahead to next season. And Jacob, this is where I was gonna get your takes if you're still out there, man. Because you know we're gonna talk about, you know, he's saying he'd still take Georgia Bama 1-2. You know, Dennis, I know you're out there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. But I took a screenshot. I know On3, you know, they're one of the college football, you know, sites out there. They're pretty good. I like seeing the stuff they post. But way too early college football top 25. For next season. This is what they listed out. Number one, so I'm just going to do top 10 for right now. You know, if you want to hear more of that. Mm-hmm. And once I get to the point where I can put some of this stuff up with the screen, I'd love to start doing that. But way too early, CFP top 25. We got 1, Georgia. 2, Texas. 3, Bama. 4, Oregon. 5, Ohio State. 6, Michigan. 7, Ole Miss. 8, Notre Dame. 9, Penn State, and 10, Missouri. That is the top 10 that per On3 per Jesse Simonton. So the guy that made this is Jesse Simonton. What do you think about the top 10? So once again, Georgia, Texas, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Penn State, Missouri. A lot of familiar names there.
Yeah, a lot of familiar names. That's a really good list. Problem with that list, you know, it's funny that I could see Georgia for sure next year, especially with the pieces they got coming back and, you know, the guys we're retaining to be the best team in the country. But it's funny that we call ourselves the best team in the country, only to know 4 weeks later into the season, you're going to play Alabama and then lose. So, like, but that's the beauty of it. It's like
they give you the chance.
They
give you the benefit of the doubt. Mm-hmm. And then you see what happens when the time
comes. You got to see what happens. You know, Texas at 2. I don't know, man.
Texas, you're returning Ewers. We already know that the big Xavier Worthy, he's gone. Your tight end Sanders is gone. Let me see here. Who else is gone? I mean, they got the two big defensive tackles, they're gonna be gone that they have. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure Jonathan Brooks is gone. So I mean they still got some running backs coming. I don't know if A.D. Mitchell's living or not. I haven't seen much about that. And then I also haven't seen anything about Whittington.
Yeah.
Jacob chimed in. I like that list, but Missouri is better than Penn State. You are correct, Jacob. You are correct. I like what you're thinking on that. You need to get in Kobe's ear. Let him know, man.
Well, you know, looking at that list, you know, looking at a guy like looking at a team like Texas. All right, so Texas.
So we both agree that number one should be Georgia, and then Jacob, Josh. You know, if all you guys agree, you chime in here. I think we could both agree Georgia number one.
Yeah, I'm not feeling sold on Texas being up there too high. I mean, heck, that's 3 straight exits.
Bam over.
In the top 3. And if you feel like if the top 4 next year, 3 out of the 4 next year are going to be all SEC teams, then, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But a lot of these teams are going to knock out each other. And I think with an all SEC schedule now where a lot of the top teams will be playing each other, a lot of the stuff is going to be a lot different. And, you know, that's where I came up with the notion that the Pac-12 was the better conference this year than any conference. Only because you saw so many ranked teams were in that conference, but they all had to play each other week after week. We talk about SEC, but when you go deep dive into the SEC schedule, a lot of the top teams are not playing each other week after week after week. When you look at that, you know, you look at, let's be honest. Georgia don't play Alabama in a regular season majority of the time until the SEC championship game. All right?
More likely, yeah.
Most people think those two are the two best teams in the conference. Why do they rarely play each other? Heck, in the span of 2 years, actually, take it back, 3 years, we go back to our national championship. We didn't play Alabama at all in the regular season. Never played Bama at all in the regular season. Why is that? See, that's the problem I have sometimes when you talk about overall the best conference, which they are. Don't get me wrong. I think Georgia and Alabama is amongst the two top teams. But you have a lot of teams that don't even see each other. Hey, when the last time we see LSU? I know we saw them in the SEC championship game 2 years ago. Been a long time ago. All right? That's just how it's been. you know, for majority of the time. Like, we don't always see each other as the best. But next year, it changes up a whole lot. It changes up a lot. And we get a chance to really see. And I definitely see what Greg Hopkins down here talking about. SEC has to kill each other. It's cannibalism. But
you're right. It always happens like that, Greg. You're right.
Yeah, he's not lying. But I can't.
Jacob said, could you slip FSU in the top 10? I'm not willing to go that far. I'm not. I still don't know. There's a big unknown at quarterback. Well, actually, not a big unknown anymore. You got DJ Uiagalelei coming in. But it feels like I don't know. I need to choose my words wisely here, because I don't want to say running it back, because I don't see the same amount of – I can't say that either. I want to sit here and say I don't see the same amount of success coming their way this year with their schedule. But when you look at their schedule, they're still playing the same teams. And it's the ACC. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they could very well go back and go undefeated.
But they're still in the ACC.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. They're still in it. They haven't left it yet. Mm-hmm. I think as of right now, you have to assume they're going to be playing a full ACC schedule.
Yeah,
for sure. They are bringing in a lot of transfers again. They're bringing in a ton of transfers. I don't know if you kept up with that. They just picked up one of J-Wall's boys, Earl Little. They picked up also Malik Benson from Bama. So they're getting Bama sloppy seconds now instead of everybody else's. They got DJU. They got some other guys. I don't know, man. I mean, they're – I don't know if it's sustainable the way they're going about this. I think this is just patching things up. Okay, we have this hole. Let's fill it real quick with this. But then what happens when this happens or that happens? I just think it's a house of cards in that sense. What's the rule on conference championships in the SEC? Now, it'll be the top two. There's not going to be any division, so it'll be the top two in the SEC, right, Torres?
Yes, very similar to how the Big 12 used to do it.
Yes. Same thing the Pac-12 did this year. I mean, between Oregon and Washington, they were the top two. They played each other. So, yeah. That's how that one's working.
And I like it like that because, again, I play a full SEC schedule. You have to play these teams, right? Because that's what I think a lot of people sometimes sleep on the Big 12. Now, granted, I don't think the Big 12 ever been one of those top-tier conferences. But they usually have a lot of good ranked teams. You know, Oklahoma, lately Kansas, Oklahoma State, Texas. You know, there used to be a time with Texas Tech and all those boys and West Virginia a few years here and there. Like, they would have a lot of really good teams. But basically, they had to all play each other. And now we get to really see a true SEC champion. Because what about – what year was it when – heck, I think that was a year when, like, LSU and Auburn and Bama and Georgia, they were all really good. You know, but not all of them played each other. Now, granted, Alabama played the majority, obviously, because they were on the side. And I said, man, imagine if Georgia had to play through some of that same schedule. You know, and I'm not taking nothing away from Georgia, but I am saying – it makes the SEC like, okay, we talk about how great this conference is, but how great when you all have to play each other? Because I'm not talking about no Arkansas. I'm not talking about no Mississippi State, no Vanderbilt.
Greg brought up Arkansas.
I ain't talking about no Arkansas. We ain't talking about Vandy. We ain't talking about Mississippi State.
No, we can't talk about
Vandy. We ain't talking about those teams. Because when you talk about all the South, let's take away all those sorry teams. This only, like, usually is the two top teams and sometimes a third. Yes, Florida back in the day, late 2000s.
It's getting worse.
They're not doing that good no more for a long time.
They're still doing some stupid stuff right now. I think they just brought in one of Auburn's guys to be their best or to be their co-defensive coordinator or something. There was some weird title they done gave them. I don't know. It's not going to fix anything. It's going to get ugly down there.
And Tennessee is stepping up. Congratulations. But Tennessee wouldn't even win the ACC. They wouldn't probably win the big. I'm not sold on Tennessee. Tennessee ain't winning jack. Like, Tennessee has gotten better.
I'm not willing to go that far.
Oh, Lord.
Wait, so what are you saying about Tennessee exactly?
Tennessee ain't done nothing. The last few years, they ain't done nothing.
Last year was a big year for them. I mean, not this.
Was great. They beat Alabama. Then, you know, they got right number one.
I mean, technically, they screwed up at the end there. Yeah. I'm kind of in agreement with you. I'm never going to take them too serious. But I do think that they're a pretty good team, especially after what I just saw in that bowl game. Yeah. Greg's bringing it up. Iowa. Yeah. It was a pretty good performance. Not going to lie, man. I'm not gonna lie, it was a pretty good performance from Tennessee. Oh my God. And the new quarterback, man. I like that quarterback. That quarterback size. Is Greg a Tennessee fan?
He is.
Tennessee. Hey, Greg, I like that. I like
and
that.
He went to high school in Ringgold. Like, why are you a Tennessee fan?
Uh-oh, Greg.
Hey, wait a minute. Are we really bringing up Iowa? A team Jacob, that can't score on 3 points?
Get Jacob said sleeper team next year is Arizona. Greg hit you with the go balls. Yeah. Greg, I can see it. It's just the coaching is what backs me up on Tennessee. They as long as that gimmicky offense, I don't know. I feel like teams like Georgia and them can shut it out. That's the issue, I feel like, for you guys. Like, I just feel like it could be easily kind of snuffed out. Now, when I was reading it out, so we talked about 1 Georgia, 2 Tennessee. Or Texas, I meant. Sorry, Greg. 3 Bama. So you would bump Bama to 2.
I probably would bump Bama to 2. I haven't really been sold too much.
Still some question marks there. A lot of question marks, actually. And I do want you to chime in here. Yes, Greg. NCAA 2014 EA Sports, baby.
It ain't live. We never got a commercial last night.
Yeah, we never did. Yeah, and we probably won't from a thing that I saw. So hopefully we get NCAA here at some point. But, yeah, Jacob, I want you to chime in here. I've seen a lot, and don't get me wrong, Georgia, we've had our fair share of guys too. Now, we had a lot of guys enter the portal. Like you said, I think it was more of getting rid of some, a better way to say it, I guess, some booty players out of here. They've also lost, Bama has also lost a good bit of NFL talent. I saw Kool-Aid, Terry and Arnold. I'm not going to mention Jermaine Burton here. He doesn't need to be involved in that. You got who else was led? I mean, I know they lost the two running backs. Old buddy Roydell, buddy Jason McClellan, them two left. Like I said, Burton, Benson, all them, like pretty much all the wide receivers have left up to this point. I think they're okay with that. Also, J.C. Latham, their star right tackle, he's gone. They got another guard that left. Think of defensive lineman. Needless to say, I see a lot of names leaving. A lot, and then Dallas Turner or Boyd Bay. Braswell, a lot of your pass rush dipping. A lot of big names here. There's a lot of things I want to see. And that's one thing we got to pay attention to in the offseason is who's going to fill in those roles for them to see where they end up placing themselves before the season starts. Their heart's going after this year. Who's he talking about? Bama?
I'm gonna ask you this. So we talk about it a good bit. I've seen interviews from Kirby. You know, you talk about it on here. Kirby, like 4-year guys that develop.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a little bit detrimental to see a team like Alabama go into the transfer portal and grab guys left and right?
What do you mean detrimental exactly?
Detrimental
to them? Detrimental to
detrimental to them. You know, because I think the transfer portal is something I could be completely wrong, but you know, is it that a part of Nick Saban's specialty? Is he's good to go and grab these guys that he has no understanding, no true idea of their identity, of anything? He just go grab them, hey, we need you here. You know, like compared to a 4-year guy. Obviously, I know he would love to rather have a 4-year guy, but maybe transfers left and right. You know, you talk about it like, I mean, yes, they just made it to the playoffs, so obviously it must benefit them in some way. But
yeah.
How long can you sustain it, as you just said?
I think the strategy – well, talking about just for Alabama, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just for Alabama.
I mean, I think the strategy that Georgia and Bama – because I don't think Bama's dipped into it too hard, right? I mean, how many transfers did they get last year? I know they brought in Buckner. I know they brought in Tresman Marshall. Most of the transfers I cracked on, if you remember. I cracked on the safety they had. I cracked on the corner they had. I don't think it was a ton of transfers they brought in that were supposed to come in and make a huge difference. I don't think it was one of those years for them as far as that goes. But I think the strategy that Georgia and them have taken, which Georgia just actually brought in a QB in the portal. I don't know if you saw that or not.
Yeah, from
UNLV. And he's not going to be a guy that's supposed to come in and play. It's just a, you know, so we have an extra arm in the room. But
freshman of the year last year, probably.
Yeah, he was solid. He was solid, but he's not going to, you know, you're not going to start over Beck. I mean, that's the understanding. But you're going to come in, you're going to bring another arm to the room, you're going to help out in practice, you know, get everything ready. I think the way they've ran it is decent compared to like a team like A&M or like a team like Florida State, where you see there's no buy-in from the collective unit. You know, when the going gets tough and things don't go your way, it's not – we're just not going to play then. This don't mean anything. We're not going to play. And that's how it happened to Florida State. A&M, same thing. Oh, we're out. Oh, money's gone. We're out. We're gone. No allegiances to this university. No allegiances to these other teammates of mine. No allegiances to this coaching staff. I'm gone. I'm out. I do think that's detrimental. I don't like that way of playing it. Hiring mercenaries is not the way to go. Now, if you can pick your spots, choose your spots on where you need to hit, you know, like I'm going to bring in this one guy who's going to be able to, I think he can make an impact for this team this year to really help us push us over the edge. I think that's something solid. I think that can help you out. And I think that's the way these two teams have operated for the most part, Georgia and Bama, that is.
You made a good point. Like you said, you can't go after these mercenaries and expect it.
You're right.
But then again, I mean, yeah, great point made by Greg, man. You know,
$8, say money. He's right. Money talks, man.
These guys are going to where whoever the highest bidder is, and they don't care what the school look like. They don't care what how good the talent is at the school. It's like whoever has the highest dollar, and I think that is broadening the expansion of like.
Oh, it's creating more parity, you know, these other teams like let's just take a look at this is a good one to bring up in the NIL talk. Ole Miss. Have you been keeping up with what they've been doing transfer
wise? No, I have not.
They've brought in a good bit of defensive players. They got in Walter Nolan, former top five defensive tackle in his recruiting class. Great five-star player. Awesome player. I was, I talked about him on the show previously. I was heard Georgia was starting to kick the tires on it. Was really hoping we'd get it because he'd be amazing. They got him. They got some boys from Greg's team, Tennessee. I think like a safety, a defensive lineman. They've been loading up. But then all of a sudden, just the other day, Quinshon Judkins, number one running back, it feels like talent-wise in the nation, enters the transfer portal. Things start coming out about that. How pretty much – and not to crap on A.D. Mitchell, not to crack on Adonai Mitchell. Love the guy. He's a dang good dog. Love him to death. He's made some of the biggest catches in UGA history when it comes to leading us to two national titles, and I will always respect him for that, and he's always got a place in my heart for that. But he came – Adonai Mitchell went to the coaching staff. He got a deal done. Everything was squared away. Comes back a couple weeks later, wants a little bit more. Same thing happened with Quinshon Judkins from what I've heard. This is from what I've gathered, where he got a deal, went back, tried to get a little bit more. Things started getting around in the locker room about it. You can actually go back and watch some of that game film from when they played Penn State. Offensive linemen weren't helping this kid up off the ground after tackles. Yeah, sure. And that doesn't necessarily mean everything. There was some stuff going on the sidelines. As soon as he entered the portal, Jackson Dart, starting quarterback, starts making posts about it. You know, it's best to let people go or something like that. Things like that, things that are uncharacteristic. And even Lane Kiffin made some posts. And you know how he's not afraid to make some posts about stuff. He was just like letting a shark go or something like that. He always does these shark things analogies. Don't understand it fully, but he does it. And he's now at Ohio State. He has committed to Ohio State. He's going to be running back for them this year. So they've been we'll see how this experiment works for them as far as bringing in a total overhaul defensively. I have a feeling it's going to be more like the Florida State experiment more than it is going to be like a Georgia or a Bama type thing, though. Jacob chimed in. He said, Bama wide receivers and running backs are going to be better in the next few years, not worried about the defense as much. It'll be tough to replace Turner, Braswell, Kool-Aid, and Arnold, but getting Overton helps, and there are some studs behind them. Boys, I think it all comes down to coaching. Yeah, Overton, he was another former top prospect. He reclassified, went out a little earlier. We'll have to see what he does. I haven't kept up with his production at A&M. He also said, I'm more worried about getting someone that can snap the D ball. So yeah, he's right. Hey, I wonder, and who will that be, Jacob? Is there a guy on the roster that's actually going to do that, or are you guys going to have to bring somebody in? I haven't looked at the depth chart. I want to know who it is. I know we know who we have coming in now that Cedric Van Pran's gone. It's going to be Jared Wilson stepping up. Heard nothing but great stuff about him, so I'm happy to know that. But I have been interested to know who's it going to be for Bama.
Well, the other question is for Alabama as well. Who's going to be the defensive coordinator?
Yes, that is.
And just having their former defensive coordinator retired. I can't think of his name currently.
It is Kevin Steele.
Kevin Steele, that's right. So him just retiring, you know, that's huge. Now, granted, let's be honest. We know what goes on in Alabama. We know who are the ones that actually run the defense. We know Saban is the man. But
yeah,
defensive coordinator does also have a hand in play as well. And I think that could be a little bit, you know, of a turning point, you know, if he don't get the right guy. So
Yeah. Let's see. Greg brought up Colorado offers you an education and sponsorship deal of $200K. I wouldn't be shocked if it's more now with Dion over there. Or Texas A&M offers you an education and $4 million in sponsorships. Kids making this kind of money is going to be crazy when it comes to gambling on these kids. Yeah.
Well, see, right. And that's another thing, too, about that, Greg, is the fact that high school kids are now making this money. Because high school now can have NIL deals. And there's a lot of schools. You got it now in Georgia. Tennessee was the first state to do it. It is crazy. It is very crazy. You got high schoolers transferring like it's nothing. Yeah. And it's mind-blowing. Like, oh, I'm going to this high school. They offered me $500K. Wait a minute. What'd you say again?
Oh, man. I've been – hey, whew, I heard something recent about FPD and a highly touted recruit. I'm not going to say anything on it, but he wanted some type of car, wanted a couple hundred thousand. Like all sorts, like the demands were crazy.
The question is though, if he don't get it from that school, see, look, these kids are already
using the numbers ain't coming from nowhere.
That's right. There you go.
Numbers ain't coming from nowhere. He knows what he's doing.
Somebody, hey Buford, hey, what you want? Oh, we got that. What? You know, yeah. Right? And these families, I mean, you gotta remember. Like, you remember when you're young, you would see little kids highlight tapes, and you're like, oh, that little kid, you know what he making a highlight tape for? He's young. Mm-hmm. He's not even in sixth grade yet. Well, these little kid highlight tapes are actually beneficial. Because guess what? They going into these middle school and high school recruiting now. Hey, come on down here. Hey, come on down to Warner Robins. We got you a little something. You
know? Don't call Kobe out like that. Don't call Kobe out like that. Jacob did say James Brockermeyer is going to be the next center, it looks like, but I won't be surprised if we pick someone up. I remember the Brockermeyer boys. Didn't one of them leave, Jacob? You can answer that in the chat here in a second. I thought Tommy or something like that left. They came as a package deal. They were out of Texas. While we're waiting to hear from him on that, so number four and five were Oregon and Ohio State back-to-back. With Ohio State adding the addition, getting the addition of Juckins, having what they have.
I probably switch Ohio State and above Oregon.
You put them above Oregon. Oregon, they will have a new quarterback next year. It'll probably be Dylan Gabriel. Could be Dante. They're gonna duke it out. See who wins that. It's probably gonna be Gabriel. I think everybody's gonna put their money on that. Ohio State. I think didn't it get announced? Will Howard is coming in. Hang on here.
Come out from Kansas State.
Kansas State. Yes, Will Howard. Yes, he's going to Ohio State, and I remember he was – they were hyping up. He's going to Ohio State now.
They loaded, boy. They got Juckins and – boy, they about to be loaded.
Yeah, yeah. They're getting some – they're reloading in some ways.
Who's the quarterback?
His what?
He's going to be a quarterback.
It probably Will Howard, I'm guessing. I mean,
they had another transfer, I believe.
Let me look here. I'll pull that up. But yeah, Ohio State, they brought in Will Howard. I can't imagine Will Howard would come without being promised that starting job. Because I know USC was talking to him about coming in and being the guy. Transfer tracker. Let's look here. But yeah, I mean, Will Howard, he's a highly touted kid. You know, even before the season started, they were talking highly about him. Let's see here, incoming portal. I'm seeing a lot of the outcoming portals, but
maybe it was a speculation thing. Then I thought that was another quarterback.
Players in the portal headed to Ohio State. You got Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, two really highly touted guys. Right. Will Kaczmarek from Ohio, from just Ohio, and then oh yeah, that's right. How could I forget, Jacob? Your boy Seth McLaughlin, our hero of the hero of the what you call it, the Sugar Bowl, I guess it was, wasn't it? Or
something. The Rose Bowl.
There you go, Rose Bowl. They got new. So now he could be the guy ducking for snaps. Now it sounds like so, but yeah, you best believe they're gonna have and they're bringing in the best wide receiver in the nation. Now that this is what you need to know, the kid they have coming in recruiting wise, Jeremiah Smith, the number one wide receiver in the nation. The kid is the truth. Ohio State's going to continue the tradition. Yes, man, he is freaking legit. That kid is awesome. Like, he is just a straight-up dog. He's going to be like the next, like, Marvin Harrison Jr., whatever. You know, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, whatever you want to name, man. He's right in there in that lineage. He's going to be awesome. He's going to be getting snaps year one. He's that freaking good. And they already got guys.
Where did he come from? What state? What state did he come from?
I think – pretty sure he's a – let me look here. I thought he was a South Florida kid.
But South Florida kids, boy, you don't play with them, man. You don't play with them South Florida boys. South Florida boys, that speed kills. But hold on. Let me make sure. Yep. Opelika, Florida. Chaminade, Madonna Prep. There you go. Boom. That's all I needed to know, man.
Them Florida boys are getting it. They fast.
Yeah. Michigan's best player, Seth McLaurin. Yeah. He was definitely.
Jacob and his distaste for Seth McLaurin, dude. He was so mad about those snaps.
Boy, No, it ain't just him. It's all the book. They were all.
Oh, mad. I know. But see, all, man. I understand it was a bad snap at the end, but like. Can y'all not understand? Like, Milroe didn't play his best game either. Like, come on, y'all. Like, it wasn't a one player type thing. And I agree. He didn't play good either. But so neither did Milroe. And neither did the offensive line. The offensive line was
offensive line had a very off game. Very off game. Next up, you had Michigan and Ole Miss, 6-7. Ole Miss is that's really high for Ole Miss. I mean, I'm just not used to them being that highly rated that early in the year, but here they are adding in some defense. You know they're going to have some offense. They're Jackson Dart's coming back. Of course, they're not going to have Judkins. I can believe it, man. I can believe it. I'd get tired of it too. I'd be upset probably as well, man. I'd be upset probably as well. Shoot, I was getting mad at Dalen Everett all year for getting just picked on and covered. So I can only imagine.
You hear Georgia fans, I love Tanner, dude. When Tanner be getting on, the defensive end, the white defensive end.
He hates Chambliss, and I feel so. Dude, when Chambliss said he's returning back, God, no, please don't come back. We don't want you back. All these people how are y'all going to act this way about this kid?
I know, man. This man's a two-time champion. Leave him alone.
It's messed up.
He's been a key factor on our team. Yes, he might be.
Let the man live in peace. Curious if you're third in your division, does it benefit you in the playoffs and your win? Was just curious. You know, I don't know. You know, because since we don't have division anymore, I'm guessing you mean SEC-wise and Pac-12-wise and Big Ten. I know everybody's – and ACC, I think it's now there's not going to be any divisions at all in any conferences. But third in your conference, does it have any benefits in the playoff? I don't know. I know there's benefits, obviously, to winning your conference because you get, like, a higher seed. Maybe there's something to say about finishing second and third, especially in a very top-heavy – conference. If you got a lot of heavy hitters in that conference and you finish third, I mean, I'm assuming there's a case to be made. Hey, that means something.
Well, this is when we're going to be on this show next year, and we're going to be sitting here arguing the 12th best team that should make it in.
Yeah,
and everybody's going to be pissed. Well, I think this team and I think that team. The third doesn't have to play that extra hard. I mean, yeah, the third wouldn't have to play the SEC championship game, but
there will be benefits to people that don't win the conference as well. Will be, because I think somebody said
you won't have the home game though.
And I hate to hijack the conversation here, but I remembered somebody bringing it up. They were like, because the team that wins the conference gets a bye week, but they don't get to play it at home. Meanwhile, the team that finishes whatever, and they're that first and they're higher in the seeding, but they're playing in the first round, they get a home game.
That's right.
And they get all the I'm pretty sure they're gonna get all that concessions money and ticket money, all that good stuff. I mean, it's gonna really benefit those teams a lot. They're gonna get a lot of money. So it's gonna be interesting to see how they kind of balance that out. But back to you, Torres. I'm sorry.
No, you're not. Everything you're saying, the same thing is like it's gonna benefit to win your comp. Now I see what Greg said. There shouldn't be a conference championship then. But you got to figure out who the top teams are. And I think that's the purpose of it. Because let's just say let's use the scenario this year. Okay, Alabama won a conference. They would get the bye while Georgia would basically have to play through the playoffs.
And we'd have a home game.
And that's right.
We would have a home game the way it would have
worked. Yeah, eventually, yeah. Like, as you play it out, we would have a home game. But overall, overall, I think it's going to be really interesting. I do think we're going to see a lot more blowouts. I don't care what nobody's saying, man. I think 12 is still too much. But we'll see how it play out. We can't do nothing about it.
They're probably – it'll be something like wild cards. You're right, Gray. It'll be something similar to that. Like, you might see three teams from one conference. You'll see like these different specials coming out. Like,
we'll see Liberty. Liberty was undefeated.
Your TCU – yeah. your Cincinnati's, you know, they'll be making a run in here, and sadly we'll see the misfortune of those.
You say, wait a minute, why you say TCU's? They was in a part of the Big 12.
I'm playing with you, but it was just like, no, they were part of the Big 12, and that was the first time. I'm pretty sure that was the first time a Big 12 had made the – no, it wasn't. Texas had made it, hadn't they? Or no?
Had made the playoffs?
Yeah.
Oklahoma, all those other
That's years. Right, Oklahoma, they done. That's right, we played them in the Rose Bowl that year. You're right.
And then they played LSU in the – they played LSU. Hey, and then one year they play Alabama, I believe. Yeah,
they did.
Oklahoma made it more than
that's right. They made it, and they kept on losing in the first round of it. So yeah,
did Jalen Hurts make it 1 year?
Lincoln no. Riley special. Don't know for a fact.
I don't think he did. Maybe not.
Last three to cover real quick: Notre Dame, Penn State, Missouri. We talked about them. Notre Dame getting the addition of the Duke quarterback, Riley Leonard. Maybe that'll be something. We'll see. I don't know. Everybody was hyped on Sam Hartman. We saw how it ended. I do still like the coach there a lot. I do think the defense will be pretty good.
They had a solid season. They went what?
Yeah, I mean, it was still a good season. Maybe the offense will back up the defense, and we'll see how it goes. Penn State, if you came here to hear Tyler Layfield say some positive things about Penn State, you're probably in the wrong spot, man. You're probably in the wrong spot. I'm going to have to just shift this conversation over to Torres because I really don't know what to tell you positive-wise on Penn State. I mean, yes, I like Nick Singleton. Yes, you know, Catron Allen could do some good stuff. I'm not huge on the quarterback that everybody hyped up. Jacob said Notre Dame has a stud at running back too. Okay, then, so that'll probably help them out. But yeah, Penn State, I can't really get behind now. Missouri, you know, I can get behind a team like that. They're bringing back, you know, Brady Cook, Luther Burden. They're getting a big guy, and then they're recruiting Williams Wanary. They're getting some transfers. I like Missouri. Now I don't. It's going to be hard because it's hard. I don't know if Missouri's ready for that step yet, you know, the step to relevancy, because, you know, we saw it with a team like Tennessee last year where they, you know, they won these big games. They stole the media's hearts, but then, you know, it just hasn't worked out for the best since. Can they stay at this level? That's the question I have. I want to see how this team shakes out. And, of course, you know, the farther we get into offseason, we'll start looking at these schedules and seeing what we think. We'll make our predictions on these records of these teams. But can they do something big this year to kind of stay at this level or even, you know, better yet, take the next step, like making a 12-team playoff? You know, that's obviously what you're working towards. So we'll see. Jacob chimed in. Penn State has Fleming now as well. That's right. They got Fleming from Ohio State, but you need someone that can throw the ball to him. And for whatever reason, I kept on hearing about that kid all offseason long, especially from Jackson and Kobe, Drew Allard, you know. It didn't click for me, man.
You know, looking at a team like Penn State, I think if you look at majority of their years, they win every game except Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah, that's a playoff worthy team. And that's probably what's going to happen next year. And it's a playoff-worthy team. Now, I do know there's some new acquisitions to the Big Ten. Am I right? Is there some new teams? Who are the new teams to the Big Ten?
New Big Ten teams. I know we include Oregon's in it. Yeah. There's some big ones coming in. Yeah. Oregon, USC, UCLA. They're all coming.
Hold on. Where Colorado going to be next year?
Washington. Colorado's going to be – let's see here.
Because I thought they were leaving the Pac-12. I could be wrong. I thought they were leaving the Pac-12.
Let's see here. I'm about to look. I think they might be – proved. Oh, to the Big 12. They're going to the Big 12. So they're moving to the Big 12.
Okay, so they're moving to the Big 12.
Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA.
Oh, in the Big Ten?
Correct. You are right.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I guess, you know, after a while you forget about it. But, yeah, it was a big thing when it happened.
Oh, man. Well, sorry, Penn State. hey, they got some killing.
You might have missed your best chance.
You might have missed your chance. I'm about to say, you should have been there. You see how Michigan won it. You should have been there.
Hey, big sorry to Iowa. Sorry. Yeah. Your last conference championship, you're going to play in, pal.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to log off. You know, I'm going to need you to log off.
Yeah, it's going to be a long time before they see that again.
Yes, sir.
That's wow. That's a hard conference. That's a hard conference.
Yeah, they're about to really perish for that. I hate it for teams like Iowa. Like, it's because Iowa, you know, they're just your, you know, like they stick to the guns, they do what they do, and they win the games how they win them. But now it's just like, it's going to be too much, man. It's going to be too much.
So. Dude, you're talking about the people keep talking about an all SEC playoff. Dude, you about to have
you're
Big Ten in the playoff.
They're going to be beating on each other now. Michigan's not going to be able to just beat up on Rutgers and, well, you know, whoever now, you know, it's not going to be, you know, Maryland or whatever, you know.
It'll be no more than
some teams. You're not just going to play Ohio State and Penn State every year. You're going to play some
also, isn't Tyler Tagovailoa, isn't he in the transfer portal?
He is, but Miami actually just added some FCS quarterback as a transfer, and there might be some writing on the wall. The NCAA may not give him another year of eligibility. But as Greg said earlier, money talks. We'll see if that plays anything into it. All right. So before we move on from looking ahead to next season, you ready to, you know, we just wanted to touch on it a little bit. You ready to move on to some NFL playoffs?
Dude, am I? Dude, let's go. I'm ready. I'm ready for the NFL playoffs because we are one lucky
team. You're in it. You're in it. Hey. Let's go ahead and let's have you talk about your team first. Number 7 seed Pittsburgh Steelers is going to Buffalo to play the red hot Bills. What you think there, my man?
Well, the Bills have been hot, man, and you know, I'm gonna get to the Dolphins, but man, what a way to lose! You went from being in contention for the number 1 seed to now losing all the way down towards the freaking 6th seed. You know, like that's just, it's crazy, but. Overall, the Bills have gotten hot. They did what they had to do to get towards the, you know, get towards the 2 seed. Now they're going to have a huge home field advantage all the way until they have to play Baltimore. Man, Pittsburgh is one lucky son of a team, dude.
They're a 10-point favorite, by the way,
and rightfully so. I'm not. Then without T.J. Watt,
I'm not trying to, you know, harsher vibe, but you know, I had to throw it out there.
Hey. The vibe is understandable. Do I think we beat Buffalo? No.
Uh-oh. Look at Jake coming in here.
Hey, dude.
Steelers shock the Bills.
I'm going to tell you this.
Shock the world, baby.
I'm going to tell you this.
Shock.
After seeing how the Bills played against the Dolphins. Now, let's be honest. The Bills ain't played the cleanest style of football. So, the Steelers, in ugly games, as we have seen, for multiple years, if they keep it tight, Mike Tomlin can pull it out. But I agree with you, Jacob. I don't like how
Allen has been playing pretty bad.
He's been playing pretty bad. He forces the ball in bad situations. It gives us a chance. But once we hit that 14-point mark, anyway, we down 14. You might want to switch to something else because we ain't coming back. We got Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph have been playing phenomenal. No interception in these 3 games he started. One of the highest QB rated in these last 3 games, quarterback in the NFL. Defense have been playing lights out, but that's with T.J. Watt. Granted, we still have a really good front 7. I like what we can do. I do feel like it's hard for me to see him just going and just blowing out him. I think it's going to be hard to just blow him out off the water. But I don't see us having
slow much of a chance.
I don't see much of a chance. Najee, if him and Warren are playing good, we can definitely keep this game tight.
Get Pickens going, you know.
Got to get Pickens going. You're right. Got to get Johnson going. We got weapons. We can do it.
You got some weapons.
But, man, I don't like our chances.
Yeah,
man.
I hate it with T.J. Watt. The over-under on the total points here is 36.5.
Really?
36.5. Mm-hmm.
And we're a 10-point underdog, too.
Mm-hmm. So, lower scoring affair, 10-point underdogs. I don't know. Maybe y'all can muck this up to make it a close one. So what's your official pick here? You got this 10-point.
I got the Bills.
Got them to cover that 10 points?
And it's just It's a steal. It's hard to be. This is Mike Tomlin, man. He just knows. I don't know how he does it, boy, but he does it. But
that's what I'm laying. He's like one of those that it's in the back of your head. You know, we talk about playing Saban. We talk about playing Brady. We talk about, you know, these kinds of things. I'm not trying to put, you know, Tomlin on that level, but Tomlin's legit, man. Tomlin's been doing this long enough where you got to respect it at some point. And he sneaks into these situations. He does these things. Jacob said he'll take the Steelers plus 10. And, Jacob, I'm not going to take the Steelers to win it, but I'll take the Steelers to stay within 10. I think
I think that too. I'll take that as well. I think they can stay within 10.
They'll find a way to stick in this game. They'll find a way to stick in it. That's what I think. All right, so then let's see. Where do we go from here? Do you want to stay in the AFC? Stay in the AFC?
Mm-hmm.
All right, may as well flip it over to the team you just talked about, and Jacob, I'm sure, will chime in on this one. The number six seed Miami Dolphins, they're traveling to take on the number three Kansas City Chiefs. Should be a fun one, right? You know, you got the Dolphins that started off the year hot. Obviously, you know, went down in a little bit of a whimper toward the end of the year. But or actually not the Chiefs. Am I tripping? It ain't the Chiefs, is it?
Yeah, the Dolphins play the Chiefs. Yeah.
Okay, it is. My bad. Okay, cool. I looked at the wrong thing for a second. Yeah, and Kansas City, they are a 4-point favorite at home here in this game. And then let's look at the over-under for points total here. Total points, we're looking at 43.5. So a little bit of a, you know, higher scoring affair here is what we're looking like. Tyreek Hill maybe can get some revenge. How do you see this one playing out?
I currently see that Chiefs beat them early in the season. I think they played them overseas, I believe. They beat them 21-14. Mm-hmm. It was a really good
game. In Germany. That was a good game.
It's just hard for me to see the Dolphins, what they're doing, man. They have fallen off huge. And I know the Chiefs have not looked the best towards the end of the season, you know, like losing to the Raiders and stuff like that at home. Mm-hmm. But I am going to say this. Again, Patrick Mahomes is starting to put that mystique around himself. So Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Heck, the Chiefs has went to what, four straight? Wait, since 2018, they played the Patriots. And they played the – who they played in that next one? They played the Titans and they played the Bengals. Then they play, I think, the Bengals again and the Bills. So I think they went to five straight AFC championship games. So how many teams are you going to be able to sit here and be like, hey, I'm going to doubt the team that has been there the longest? I like the Chiefs, and I feel like some of their guys are going to get hot at the right time. It's playoff times, and I've seen it too many weird times, man, where I've seen times where New England, where they would be playing, and New England would be losing like throughout the season. Hey, they let the Dolphins and the Jets beat them one year, and then they stroll on to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. Like, you look at it like, oh, this team is not going to do it this year. I feel like we could see some of that a little bit with the Chiefs. You know, I'm not saying the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl, but I am saying it's not a team I would count out. And the way the Dolphins have played towards the end of the season, give me the Chiefs, man.
Yeah, Jacob said Chiefs win. Dolphins' whole team is in the hospital. They have lost a lot of guys. They lost the two best edge rushers. I want to say Chubb and Phillips. Then they might have some other guys down. I can't remember everybody they have out. Maybe some offensive linemen, I think, is out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Waddle's always a guy you have to watch with injuries. Devon Achane as well. They do, you know, they got talent. Dolphins have talent. That's not really the – you know, the thing here that's hurting them, it's just, like we said, they've been on a downslope, and then I guess the injuries have kind of hurt that as well and, you know, made it even a steeper fall. Kansas City, they're the team. It's just the pedigree, the coaching, the team themselves. They have a lot of those pieces from over the years that have experienced this winning, you know, being victorious in these games that are in the postseason, and, you know, they know how to win these games. They know how to grit and grind and get through some of these things. And I feel like that's why you got to pick them. That's why you got to pick the Chiefs to win this. Now, I'll take them to cover the 4 points because that is, you know, it's just slim. I think this could very well come down to a field goal. I don't think it does. It could, though. And so I'm not going to, you know, rule that out. I just trust the Chiefs to get this one done. Overall, they're still playing at home. And it does make a difference. Kelce hasn't been on his game, and really you have to talk about it, but the wide receivers just the receiving core as a whole, tight ends, everybody that catches the ball. It's just been really sucky this year for Mahomes. Like, best guy's been Rashee Rice, who's a freaking, you know, rookie, you know, out here leading. Tony sucks. Marcus Valdes-Scantling sucks. Kelsey's been kind of, to be honest with you, he's been sucking. They've been leaning on guys like Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman coming back, doing some stuff. Like, it's been rough. It's been
rough. Our year, though, Kelsey.
Yeah.
You're right. It ain't the way it always been.
Yeah, it ain't. It's not like he's solid, but it ain't like monster like you're used to. It ain't like this monster, you know, him just catching all these touchdowns. So, yeah, I'll still stick it with Chiefs, and I think they can win with defense in this one. So, I'll go with them here. All right, staying in that same conference, we got Cleveland, number 5 Cleveland at number 4 Houston, who snuck into the playoffs and are now hosting a playoff game. I'll kick this one off here. Houston's been a fun story. I've been really liking what they've done. DeMeco Ryans has been a great coach this year. You know, having the quarterback come in from Ohio State, C.J. Stroud, he's done a great job there this year. Nico Collins, they lost Tank Dell. Offense has been able to do enough and crazy. And then defensively, you know, DeMeco's been able to get these boys playing some defense a bit. So that's been good. I do think it comes down to an end here, though. And I'm pulling up the line here. It's Cleveland is favored by 2.5, and they're a road favorite. So that's, you know, it's not normally the case. And the over under for points total is 44.5. I just feel like I got to lean Cleveland here. Cleveland, they got this astounding defense. Like, Cleveland's got a stud defense. Like, I freaking love the defense from Cleveland. They're awesome, man. They helped me a ton in fantasy this year with all the sacks and blocks and picks and scores. They did a lot, man. They were sick. Flacco's done enough as a quarterback. I like what he's done. I don't know if he's not comeback player of the year. I don't know who. I mean, people are making a case for the guy that passed out on the field last year, DeMar Hamlin. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to crack on DeMar Hamlin, but I mean, Flacco, man, he came off the couch and he's got this team in the playoffs. Like, I don't know. I kind of like him for it, but they can run the ball pretty well. Cooper's going to be back for this. He was just out because he just did everything the week before. I like Cleveland. I'll take him here to cover that.
Yeah. I like Cleveland as well. Cleveland is it's like almost the Cinderella story. You know, everybody knows the game that we all wanted them to play in. We all know the game that everybody wanted to see. And that is what? Browns versus Cleveland. I mean, the Browns versus the Ravens. Everybody wanted to see Joe Flacco and go against this old team in Baltimore in the playoffs. Because let's be honest, we have seen it multiple times where when Flacco plays, dude, it is a, like, he's the truth. Like, he's legit the truth. And I like Flacco. He's looking good these last few games. CJ Stroud looked good too, man. He's a rookie. He's great, he's been playing really phenomenal, bro. But it's probably going to be him potentially for rookie of the year. But then again, you see what Puka just did, you know, breaking the all-time rookie record.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to dispute. I don't know. I like what the Texans have done this year. Great, great step up. I mean, went from being one of the worst teams in the league to now a playoff team and winning the division. Definitely props to the Texans and all they've done. But, give me the Browns in this one.
All right. So that'll swing us over to Green Bay, the number 7 seed over in the NFC. They're traveling to face Dallas, number 2 seed Dallas Cowboys. And right now Dallas is a 7.5-point favorite. And lot riding on this for Mike McCarthy here, man. If he screws this one up, he's definitely gone, I feel like. I mean, you can't have the season you have and then just throw it away against a Green Bay team that's been just kind of meh, like, all year. Like, I don't know. Jordan Love, he's okay. They got a good, you know, young wide receiver talent over there. The defense could be okay at times. But there's no excuses for losing this game. You got to win this one. And with the defense you have, with the way Dak's been playing, CD's been playing, like, I feel like you got to win this. I think they do. Give me the Cowboys and give me them to cover that 7.5.
Well,
hang on. I think he got disconnected somehow. All right. So while here, I'm going to text Torres, but while he's doing that, I'm pulling up also as well. You disconnected. Let me tell him that. But the over under for the game, as it stands right now, is 50.5. So, I mean, it looks like it's going to be a pretty high scoring game, how it stands as of right now. I've been a fan. I mean, I wish I would have had some of these Cowboys pieces in fantasy this year with how they played, but just didn't work out that way for me. When is Bone Hard? It seems like my phone went out. Okay. Join on phone. All right. So Wi-Fi probably got knocked out for Torres. The storms that have been coming through, y'all probably been experiencing them yourselves, but wind's been blowing pretty bad. So I told him, let's see if we can join on phone, and it looks like he is coming back on in. Here he is. There he is. All right, there he is. God is good.
Wi-Fi acting foolish, man. We got a show to wrap. The you know, all these tornado warnings and all that stuff. So wind is blowing really hard. But back to what I was saying. What was I going to say? Who else? Who won the game?
About the Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah. Cowboys definitely should win this one. I like the Packers a lot. You know, Jordan Love. He's thrown for over 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. He's had a really good season for him being the first year at the helm. He's had a really good season. Wait a minute, second year at the helm, right? Because what?
Rodgers left. First year all him.
For sure, because Rodgers left last year. Yeah. So props to him, man. You know, a lot of props to him getting his team to the playoffs. But, yeah, the Cowboys should have this one. And, you know, I love all these storylines. You know, you got Tyreek Hill going against his old team in the Chiefs. You got Mike McCarthy coaching against his old team in the Packers. And then, obviously, we eventually get to it, you know, you'll have the Lions and the Rams, Matthew Stafford going against his old team, you know. So it's a lot of beautiful storylines going on in this year.
You're right about that. So let's swing through the rest of these before – anything else happens, would you, over there? Six seed, like you just talked about, Los Angeles Rams, led by Matthew Stafford, going and getting some revenge at the number 3 Detroit Lions. Right now, let's look at the line for this. Lions have had a good year, probably one of their best years in franchise history. I mean, it's been a long time since they had made the playoffs, so it's good to see them, you know, make their way back. But – The Lions are a 3-point favorite. They're 3-point favorites at home. Rams have been hot, though. They're one of these teams. They're kind of like Buffalo, like where they were just getting hot, and you were just like, I don't know if they should. I don't know if I'd want to play these guys come postseason. Better yet, is what I'm leaning toward. I was trying to get Torres in here while I was doing it, but yeah, like the Rams. The Rams and Bills is what I was saying, Torres. They're the kind of teams, they were getting hot at the right time. You didn't want to play them in the playoffs if they were able to make it. And the Rams have been having some good defense. Stafford and the Rams, these wide receivers they're able to have, they've been playing pretty good. Kyron Williams has jumped on the scene at the running back position. He's done great. But the Lions have had a pretty good year, man. You know, they got some offensive pieces. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, all these guys coming in, playing. Defense has been pretty solid, but I think that I see an upset on the horizon, and I see Matthew Stafford leading these Rams to defeat the Lions at home. I'm going to take that to happen. Give me the Rams and the points here.
Hey, Tyler, this is one of the closest games I feel like we're probably going to see throughout the week, and you just made a really good point. Man, the Lions have the true recipe of let's make a run in the playoffs. Like when you think about the teams that make runs in the NFL playoffs that don't have high seedings, they have what? A really good quarterback, mm-hmm. a really good defense. They got Aaron Donald, all those boys on that side. And now found a lot of weapons on the, you know, got Puka, you got Coop.
Kyron Williams, like I said. You know, he was just a guy they got for cheap. Him and Puka, they got, you know, just for pretty much nothing in the draft.
Bro, exactly, bro. You got steals. And these teams like this usually have steals like, oh, man, who would have ever thought? And the Rams got that who would you ever thought type team. And I agree with you, man. But the Lions got really good defense, man. That run game with Williams, Goff coming back, you know, get a chance to play his old team at that.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's right.
That's going to be good.
Revenge on both sides.
Both sides. Yeah, both sides. So I think it's going to be a really, really good game. Weather shouldn't play a factor at all. They both in a dome regardless.
Yep.
It's going to see the best football on both ends. Ah, this is tough. Man, it's going to be a hard game to pick. It really is. But I'm going to – I don't know, man. I feel like the Lions are finally going to do it. They're finally going to get that playoff win.
Okay.
But with the Lions, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be – I'm going with the Lions.
All right, last one here. 5-seed Philadelphia Eagles going to Tampa Bay to face the number 4-seed Buccaneers. And the Eagles are 3-point favorites, 3-point road favorites. In this one, and I couldn't agree more. Buccaneers, man, it was good they were able to make it. You know, Baker's had a pretty solid year, honestly, as quarterback for Tampa Bay, so he's been, you know, pretty good. I just don't see the Buccaneers really having a chance here. I'll tell you, I'll smash Philadelphia to cover the 3 points here with their defense, with their offense, with everything they have. It's just easy. It's simple, straightforward, to the point.
Yeah, that – I just don't see what the Bucs scored 9 points against the Panthers. Scores 9-0. It was an awful game. You know, I was keeping up with it because I was like, man, imagine if the Panthers upset and the winner of the Saints. I thought that first the Falcon game was all right, but then the Saints were the worst. I was like, okay, well, the Bucs did what they had to do. And I like the Bucs, you know, they still got that same a lot of guys from that same defense when they won the Super Bowl or the last few years, even with Tampa Bay. So they still got a good team. But give me without question, the Eagles. Eagles struggling, but I don't think Eagles do any more after this round.
Yeah, I was about to say that's what I was just about to bring up. I pulled up the NFL playoff picture over here and the winner of this one has to go face San Francisco at San Francisco. So, And then also, you know, I didn't mention it over there on the other side, but the winner between Cleveland and Houston, they face Baltimore at Baltimore. Baltimore's been a juggernaut.
That's only if the lower seed. So the one seed always plays the lower seed.
Okay. So, elaborate on that. Tell me. Straighten that out for me. So basically,
they have an order, but the order is made just in case if all top seeds win. But the one seed always plays the lower seed. That's the purpose of having the number one seed. So if the two seed wins and the three seed wins, but the fifth seed wins. The fifth seed will play the one seed while two and three play.
Okay. And they're just basically saying they think Cleveland and Philadelphia have the best chance probably to in these words, pull an upset in these matchups.
Yes.
But now what about in my case where the Rams, if they are a number six seed and they upset the Detroit Lions, would they then face the San Francisco 49ers in the next round?
Yes, the Rams would because they would.
Okay. All right, so that's what I think is actually going to happen. Okay, and I'm betting Philadelphia hopes that happens as well.
because if Philly wins, they're the 5-seed, and they will have to go to San Francisco unless the Rams beat the Lions, which in case would mean they're the lower seed. They have to play San Francisco.
Yep. Yeah. All right, man. Well, anything else you want to hit on here before we wrap up the show?
Nah, man, that was good show, man. Really enjoyed everyone that tuned in. You know, look, we're almost dwindling down towards all the NFL season. Now it's time for me to get on my NBA soapbox.
I know. I got to get back in NBA. I got to start giving it more attention. You know what's surprising?
Wolves are the number one seed in the West. I got to definitely check out what the heck going on. You know,
who's the number one seed in the West, you said?
The Timberwolves.
Wow.
You know, I definitely got to keep up. I definitely got to, you know, check out and see what the heck going on all around. But it is shocking to see the Timberwolves as number one seed. No kidding.
Man, I got to check back in. I know Ja Morant, we saw some news with him. He's done for the year. Halliburton had an injury last night. So there's some big stuff going. We're going to start diving more into it and getting into it, and especially when it comes to playoff times. You know, we're going to have something to say. Like Torres said, thank you guys out there for all of you guys that tuned into the live stream. If you're out there listening on the podcast, we appreciate you listening there. If y'all want to listen to the podcast, we're out there on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, anywhere podcasts are located. Thank y'all for all the support. If you do want to support the show and a little extra and you're out there listening on podcasts, click in the description, go to the link tree, and there's many different ways you can help. Just follow us over on our social media channels, and we will appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. And like I said, as always, we'll see you next time.
Boom, boom.